Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So come back in from Homer Simpson, mate.
Okay, cool.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Fucking hell. That is so good.
Willkommen der Luke and Pete Show.
Kommen Sie bitte und listened to the Luke and Pete Show.
How are you, Luke Moore?
Bloody well, thanks, Peter. How are you, sir?
I'm good. That noise you heard before the show started was me getting nude.
Yeah, we were having a discussion. Let's not sugarcoat this, Peter.
Okay.
We were having a discussion about testicles.
We were.
And off air.
Yeah.
I had to go out of the studio to go and let our colleague Sam in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back in, I sat down in my chair, looked around for my headphones, looked up, and Pete Donaldson had taken the 15 seconds it took me to get Sam in to get completely Billy Bollocks naked. What I would say, it was distressing for me to see it, but...
To smell it.
The execution of the stunt was... It would be up there with... It was Fathers for Justice-esque.
It was one of my...
Exactly the sort of thing Fathers for Justice would do as
it
well.
It was one of my better ones. And the thing that really made me howl with giggles was that you were in the room. You were in the studio for a full 10 seconds before you noticed.
Yeah.
You'd done a full lap. You hadn't looked at me. And that upsets me because you clearly don't look into my eyes.
Don't be upset because that's a good example of how self-obsessed I really am. I don't know that's what anyone else is doing.
Because before the show, we were talking about a recent appearance by a Fathers for Justice man.
Yeah.
And he did something not really similar. He basically was a man on Good Morning Britain with Kate Garraway. Garraway. Yeah. Basically, he was talking about how Father's Day should be abolished because some fathers can't see their kids. Obviously, a very difficult and emotionally pressing situation. But he chose to basically not make that point so much as whinge at the fact he was put in a worse green room than everyone else.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, which, you know, we come into later on because he says, right, I'm going to get my balls out.
Yeah,
and everyone goes, oh no, and they close in on a shot so you can't see him, and he pulls out these two little ping pong balls covered in some kind of wool and throws them on the table and goes, they're my balls.
Yeah.
It was a confusing protest, as many of them are.
A confusing stunt, I would say.
A confusing stunt. Yeah. I'm going to get my balls out now.
And it is a legitimate issue, right?
It's the
idea being that, the courts hugely, for my limited knowledge of it, the courts hugely favour... the mother and all that other stuff. I'm sure a lot of legitimate reasons.
It's got a lot better, and it's one of the reasons why I've never met my half brother.
Is that right?
Yep.
As the father of many children, Peter,
they want me to. They want to see me. I'm fun. I'm naked. I'm fun and naked.
Yeah, and those two things often do go hand in hand. Mm. I had something to bring to the table today, which is obviously unlike me, but. You know, a while back, so that theme tune you heard at the start of the show is Doc Brown's tune, I Got This. You can check out his record.
I've seen Ben for ages.
Oh, no, I haven't either.
I miss him.
But, you know, we had a debate about what he's actually saying, and we were talking I got this. Duh, duh.
Yeah.
Right, so I went back and listened to the song again to remind myself.
Right.
And he's saying, I got this from here.
Oh, I got this from here?
Yeah.
Like,
as in saying, leave it to me, I've got it from here.
Oh, I thought he's in like a news agent. and the woman's not sure whether to charge you for a bottle of water that you brought in yourself.
No, I got this. I got this.
I got this from here.
No, it wouldn't be that. It'd be that I got this from there.
I got this Volvic summer fruit from here.
I always get that's a really good
British anxiety.
That. Yeah, I get like that.
Yeah.
So if I even though I'm now 37 years old, if we go, my wife and I are out walking around or doing something, and I've bought a bottle of water, and then we have to go to another shop, it always crosses my mind.
I almost sort of wave it at the security guard. I brought this in.
Yeah.
Like he gives a toss.
Yeah, I'm always security guards alone don't care.
No,
I'm always fast forwarding in my mind to a situation where I'm sat in the CCTV room, going, "Look, I told you. You can see me walk in with it."
I kind of want that moment, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I see a lot of shoplifting in central London. People down their luck, just getting a bottle of Lambrini and legging out of the store. It's actually quite thrilling to watch. Oh, crime! Crime's happening!
There's regularly a... I live in an area of London called West Norwood, which is nice, but I think it used to be quite a bit rougher than it is now.
Right.
And you still occasionally get people behaving in a weird way.
Mm.
Or basically, I'm going to use the word criminals. People behaving in a weird way. There's security guards and all the little mini supermarkets. And sometimes you do see a good old dust-up. I actually almost saw a dust-up on the tube yesterday.
All right.
I don't know how it happened. But an older guy was having a proper row with a younger guy.
Mm.
And you know how I know it was a proper thing and not joking around? Because pretty much everyone in that part of the carriage got up and walked, legged it. And they properly got, like it was like some sort of incident.
Yeah.
And the thing that brought my attention to it was people coming past me in the middle of a tunnel, not at a station.
That's how that fake terrorist attack happened. Remember that one in... not Fenix, God.
In
Knockout
Selfridges.
Circus. Yeah, in Selfridges. And what's his name got involved? He got he was tweeting saying...
Oh, Ollie Murs.
Ollie Murs was,
He got a bit carried away, didn't he?
He got a bit carried away.
I don't mind Ollie Murs.
But then he...
Good entertainer. Old-fashioned entertainer.
Great footballer. And they doubled down and said, well, it might have been covered up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ollie, come on.
Yeah, come on, mate.
Come on now, mate.
Yeah.
Come on. Don't be silly.
Recently on the Luke and Pete show, Peter, let's give people a little quick update. This is episode 73, of course, and you are very welcome to get in touch with the show and contribute what we would say. And we're not, this is not false modesty. We definitely believe this. The best content comes from the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We even use words like content. That's how podcasty we are. But the best information, the best stuff comes from listeners. So hello@lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch. Talk to us about anything you want. Get it off your chest. And here's some examples of stuff we talked about recently if you're new to the show. Pete went on a bit of a rant last time around about compressed air conspiracy theories.
Mm.
The great compressed air v jet fuel debate. one of the great debates of our time, Disney rides gone wrong. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
There were some dreadful stories.
A boy wet himself on stage at school.
Better story.
Yeah, and lots of intellectual property theft. That's been going on for ages, that, on the show, isn't it? Yeah, people
love a bit of IP stuff.
People ripping off their favourite songs, poems, films, TV shows to get a variety of grades in English exams. So that's the sort of stuff we like. Peter, apart from your new role as press officer for Fathers for Justice, what's been floating your boat recently?
I actually quite enjoyed, because we talked about politics a little bit last week, I actually quite enjoyed Is My Captain Playing on Twitter. He sent me... I have a strong feeling about people who fetishize food and drink and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Anthony Bourdain, who obviously passed away, and we spoke about him last week, sent a beautiful description of why Anthony Bourdain doesn't like pubs or bars where people just go to, just look at their bottles and drink their craft
beer
and stuff like that.
Read it.
You want to read it?
Read it. Because I read it as well, and I've got a few comments to make on it.
Okay. So the interview, he's basically saying, I read somewhere that based on some drinking on the show, you were getting flamed online by beer snobs. Does that happen often? Bourdain said, a lot. I would say that the angriest critiques I get from people about shows are when I'm drinking. Whatever convenient cold beer is available in a particular place and not drinking the best beer out there. I haven't made the effort to walk down the street 10 blocks to the microbrewery where they're making some Mumford & Sons IPA. People get bent about it, but look, I like cold beer. I like to have a good time. I don't like to talk about beer. I don't like to talk about wine. I like to drink beer. If you bring me a really good one, a good craft beer, I will enjoy it and say so, but I'm not going to analyse it. And he's just basically talking about his experience in San Francisco. He's desperate for a beer. He walked into a place and he thought it was like an old bar. As he sat down, he looked up and he noticed that there was a wide selection of beers he'd never heard of, which is fine. Okay, I'm in sort of some sort of brew pub. What's good? I looked around. The entire place was filled with people sitting there with five small glasses in front of them, filled with different beers, taking notes. This is not a bar. This is a fucking invasion of the Body Snatchers. This is wrong. This is not what a bar is about. A bar is to go to get a little bit buzzed, pleasantly derange the senses, and have a good time and interact with other people or make bad decisions or feel bad about your life. It's not to sit there and fucking analyse beer. It's antithetical. Which I think sums up way better than I would ever would. You know, I love beer. I love craft beer. I like drinking craft beer. I recently turned to an IPA man because, to be quite frank, I can't keep drinking fizzy lager. It upsets my stomach.
I think I do understand. It's quite a nice, pithy sort of quote from Bourdain, and it's interesting. And he obviously is that almost like that anti guy. If you know what I mean, that sort of what would you call iconoclastic type way of living your life with food. I would say, look, just let people have a good time. You know,
yeah, but it's not
I feel like I like a different beer. I like to try different beers and all that kind of stuff. I don't feel the need to sort of write notes about it or write a blog about it or tell other people what they should be doing. And I think that's where the line's got to be drawn. But if you say to me, what are you having? And I say, I'd quite like to try that beer there.
That's fine. I have no problem with that.
But when we sit down and I want to tell you about the beer, the problem is, Donaldson, is you don't want to hear it. You don't want to listen. You know, that's just all what science
that's
girls.
That's very much between me and you.
Yeah.
And what I want to hear coming out of your mouth.
And our internet service providers. but yeah, God rest him, Anthony Bourdain. Would you argue that he is essentially doing with food, or he was doing with food, though, what he's talking about people doing with drink there?
What do you mean?
So he doesn't, presumably that attitude he's got towards beer and wine there, but particularly beer, he does that with food, does he?
But isn't that why he was interesting though? Because he didn't sort of like he didn't talk about ingredients. He travelled to the place and he spoke to people there. And half the show wasn't even about the booze, about the booze or the food. It was just about meeting the people and stuff. Oh, it's incredible. But it didn't go much further than that, really. He didn't sort of go round and get all really tasted them.
So a bit like a I think I don't know enough about him, and this might be a terrible comparison, but I made it last week and no one pulled me up on it, so I'll make it again. Perhaps like a bit of an American Rick Stein type guy. Rick Stein's a lot more gentle and a lot more sort of, you know, I suppose pleasant and easy, slow paced with when compared to the sort of more brash.
Have you ever watched much Keith Floyd from back in the
day? Yes, class.
He was brilliant.
Yeah, but he was brilliant.
He was just a boozy man.
Yeah. there are occasions where he is essentially standing in the middle of like a paddy field, like with a little burner, screaming at his assistant behind the camera to do different stuff, screaming at the cameraman, really pissed. And I'm thinking, this is great TV. This is revolutionised TV, really, in that area. But that food does not taste very good. This one.
Like, no, but you go, oh, bit of red for the pan, bit of red for Keith.
Yeah. Oh, we're out of red. But you can make this recipe without red wine. There's one
and
where...
just spit. Yeah. Just make it with spit.
There's one episode where he's out on the mud flats with some guy who basically grabs, like, I don't know, like mud skippers or little fish from the mud flats.
Right, okay, yeah.
And they just sit there, both, covered in mud. There's a little fire over some stones, and he's just cooking these mud skippers and going, oh, yeah, they're really tasty. Just drinking wine. That's not going to be that tasty.
Everything's tasty if you've got a bit of wine in your belly.
That's what, as Anthony Bourdain, God rest him, famously said.
I might do one with, like, frozen. I might do a cooking show with frozen sausages.
No cooking involved.
Just travel around the world eating frozen sausages and getting ale.
Cooking not included.
Just getting, oh, the charcoal I've pumped into my stomach to pump my stomach really sets off the rotten
charcoal.
Meat. That's what they do to pump the stomach.
I know, that's what Keith Floyd used to put in his food. I do love him though. I feel like I'm bad to besmirch him. One, because he's passed away and you shouldn't speak ill of the dead unless absolutely necessary. And two, because clearly he is a legend in the game, but I'm looking at some of that food and thinking, come on.
National treasure?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
But you've got to be alive to be a national treasure, no?
No, it's better because you can't commit any crimes.
But then you you can't go back. If you're doing for dead people, you can go all the way back to the start of time and it makes it a bit difficult.
Oh, no, but I mean, national treasure is a very modern thing. A kind of like...
What's your cut-off? 1900?
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Write it down. Write the edit point down. Write that.
Yeah.
Right, we'll be back with probably more national treasure stuff and your emails.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Farmer Me Ma, and today I'm going to show you what I've been doing to take care of the pantry moth situation.
I can't remember why I did that, but then she said moth, and I was like, oh, we spoke about moths
a while ago. Good thing is, if you talk about moths, I'll do a jingle about it in 6 months' time. So
you said you wanted jingies, and I was like, oh, I need to get some jingies together, but pantry moth. She was getting rid of pantry moths.
Our situation with jingles is incredible. One, because I can't do them.
Yeah.
Two, because you never get around to doing them.
Yeah.
And three, when we do them, we hardly ever use them. I just realised we're supposed to have a recently on the Luke and Pete show thing for my roundup of the week show before, but we forgot to do that as well.
I made it, but the problem is I've labelled them Luke and Pete production 1, 2, 3 to 7.
It's not helpful,
it's one of them.
It's not helpful. Anyway, we've made it to the email section now. So let's all be happy about that. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. If you want to get in touch, the lifeblood of the show, Pete, the elixir of this show, I'm sure you would agree. The juice.
The life juice. The mana. Juice.
The craft ale. The IPA.
Yeah.
Friend of mine, actually, speaking of that, friend of mine, Jimmy, my oldest friend, probably my best friend ever.
How old is he?
He's 400.
Cool.
Yeah. No, he's the same age as me, but we've been friends for ages.
Jesus is my best friend, so he's ancient.
And rightly so. Yeah. Died at 33, didn't he, Jesus?
Yeah.
We know about your knowledge of the Jesus story.
Yeah, just like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. Sort of. my mate Jimmy's been waxing lyrical. This is for the craft beer fans out there who are into it. He's been waxing lyrical.
Holler
at your boy. He's been waxing lyrical, my mate Jimmy, about a Kerala stout. Kerala.
South of India.
It's flavoured with...
Kerala?
Yeah, is it Kerala?
It's Kerala,
it? Okay.
Yeah.
Flavoured with all these different types of spices and curry type. I've never tried it. To me, it sounds fucking disgusting, but he thinks it's amazing.
I bought a really... Oh, God, we're doing craft ale.
Everything you hate, brother.
I bought, when I was in Roppongi, Brewdog. But the thing is, I should be into it. I mean, I like drinking it. For currently, we're sponsored by B52, but I love drinking it. But the actual, I should be into it because there's so many different kinds, and I'm a man who loves novelty, candy, food. I will eat anything, and I'll drink anything, and I'll drink the colourful can, but I don't necessarily know what's in that can.
But so you're also quite pretentious.
No, I don't think I am. Do you remember that, to decide.
Do you remember that can of Korean soft drink you got me once when we were up in Manchester doing a live show, and it had little sort of almost, I would describe, like grape flavoured jelly sweets in
it? I think it was, there's two kinds of those drinks. They're kind of, you can either have like the chunks of aloe, like a kind of aloe flavour.
This was definitely grapes.
Aloe jelly, or just sliced up grapes.
Oh, it is actual grapes. Because they sell them at Jinju as well, a Korean restaurant in town.
Ah,
but that was good. Anyway,
I spent £15 on a drink once in Japan, because it came in, it was a can of stout. What's a porterhouse? Is that a stout?
Porter. It's called a porter. Porterhouse is a steak.
Like a really expensive, a really expensive can. But it was like £15, but it came in its own card. It was a can, but it came in its own cardboard box. And I was like, well, I have to have that.
Yeah, yeah. That is very you. You're right. The novelty thing is very you.
Yeah, and I drank it, and I was pissed. It was 15%. I was like, it was like a coffee kind of flavored craft ale. Oh, I might be getting it a craft ale, guys.
Some of the
this is going to be a massive switcheroo. It's going to be wonderful.
So when you go to when I spend the time in the US, they're obviously massively into craft ale and stuff, but they go way over the top with it in terms of the type of beers they make, and or they can do. Not always, but they can do. There's a place called Woolly Mantic in Connecticut, a little town. My wife used to work there. And there's a bar there. It's called Willy Brew, and it's essentially a proper brewery and a bar as well. It's good. It does good food. It's a good place to be. And it's known for its beer. So when you go there, you think, well, you got to have a beer, right? Yeah. I mean, you can't just go there and not have a beer. So, but the problem is they've got all the beers on the blackboard, and they're all a minimum of like 8%. And it's like...
Sipping beers.
Yeah. And also, most people, if not all of them...
are driving.
Driving. So it's almost like it makes it hard to... I find if a beer's over a certain strength, I find it might just be my taste or my palate or whatever, but I find it hard to discern the flavours that you're looking for when it's that strong.
Right, okay.
So a 15% stout...
Well, like, what's wine?
That's curtains.
Wine's like, what, 12%, isn't it?
Not you're a Lambrini man, aren't you? So a little bit weaker than that.
I drank half a bottle of red wine last night. It was bloody lovely.
That's why you got naked this morning.
This is me hungover.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Pete, in the dim distant past, we've promised our listeners emails.
Yeah.
So I've got one here. Now I mentioned earlier in the show what we've been discussing recently. One thing I forgot to mention, Pete, and something I'm going to pick up on now.
Right.
Is parents censoring films for young children.
Yes.
So I said, very, very briefly, just to recap, I asked my parents to tape Top Gun off the TV for me. Mm. They did it. They let me watch it. I was young. And as a result, they paused the recording when the sex scene was on and started it again at the end afterwards. Yep. It shows a lot about how much I cared about plot that I didn't question it. Like, he turns up at the house. He leaves the house.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just popped in. He just popped in for a second.
Take my breath away. Take my sex scene away.
Take my scene away. Anyway, so George has been in touch, and he says, bear me one second. I'm just going to close that because that's getting in the way. Right, he says, hi, Luke and Pete.
You shouldn't be looking at that while we're...
Well, I'll do what I want. With regards to Luke's parents censoring the sex scene out of Top Gun, I have a similar story regarding the BBFC of Mum and Dad. BBFC, of course, the British Board of Film Classification, I think. I remember being about 10 when my dad felt it was completely appropriate for one weekend, me and my brother, to watch Silence of the Lambs as a family. 10. Early on in the film, when Clarice is taken into the depths of the prison to meet with Hannibal Lecter...
Oh, there's a lot of fruity language in that scene, I seem to recall.
Can I say the C word in this show?
I think you can.
Okay, right. My dad abruptly stopped the film, fast-forwarded it 10 seconds, and pressed play again. I love that dads just do that stuff.
Yeah, dad knows. How does dad know it? I mean, dad's seen it before.
Yeah.
Why are they rewatching
it? Dad's favourite. Dad should do something.
That's the only bit he watches.
I like the fact that dad, after 10 years of being a father, it's wearing thin now. He's not even doing some sort of elaborate creative distraction technique. He's just pressing fast forward and pressing play again. Yeah, you got a problem with that, have you?
I've got the remote.
Yeah, I've got a problem with that. I'm fucking tired. So I'm doing what I want. I've got the remote and you're not having it.
Yeah.
Fast forwarded it 10 seconds and then press play again. He did this again a bit later. When pressed on why he did it, he said, "Never you mind." Textbook dad. Fast forward a decade when I decided to sit down and revisit the 1991 classic and imagine to my horror to realise that I'd been spared Miggs tossing his sputum and the infamous line, "I can smell your cunt from here."
Mm.
He had also done the same for Buffalo Bill's expressionist dancing routine to Goodbye Horses. Anyway, love the show, guys. Keep up the good work. George, the one thing you didn't do for me earlier when you took all your clothes off is you didn't do a Buffalo Bill.
I didn't do a Buffalo Bill.
And for that, I thank you.
To my credit.
Other films featuring Buffalo Bills?
Buffalo... Oh, I know this one.
Alpha Papa?
Right. I don't think I've ever seen that one.
He got a Buffalo Bill. The Alan Partridge movie.
Oh, you mean as in Buffalo Bill, as in tucking your
as
genitals?
As in the act. Oh,
Of tucking genitals into your bum. No, I can't think of any more, to be honest.
He does it in the Alan Partridge movie, though.
Yeah, he does. There's a Buffalo Bills in the new Jurassic Park film.
Really?
It's good. He plays like
a man called Buffalo Bill.
No, the actor.
Okay.
And he plays a drill sergeant, and you're like, oh, he's good. He's got a trade now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Nice to see Buffalo Bill went on.
27 years I've been waiting for another role. If you've got any stories about, I don't know why I'm saying this, but this is the sort of thing you're going to say, Pete, if I don't say it. If you've got
Bills.
Any stories about Buffalo Bills, hello at lukeandpeter.com.
That is the thing, though, isn't it? It's like the front is humorous, the back, sexually aggressive.
The back is...
disgusting.
Troubling, I would say.
Troubling.
I would say troubling.
Bulbs.
To the point of when I was a teenager and my friends and I would partake in gentle company, you wouldn't want to go around the back.
No.
That's not for me.
Very.
Speaking of that, it's just reminding me of something. So when I was younger and we first started going to the pub, have a few beers in the pub, and then we'd go back to a friend's house if their parents were away or whatever.
Aye.
And we went back to my mate's house once, and my mate Phil, he was a bit of a loose cannon. But anyway, we went back to the house, 5 or 6 of us piled back to my mate's house. No one was in. He was on his own. His parents were away. And as we opened the front door into the house, we said to him, oh mate, have you got any food, because obviously we're starving. He said, oh yeah, just go in the kitchen and help yourself. So Phil ploughed into the kitchen ahead of me, and all I heard was
some off yogurt.
To cut a long story short, he had dipped his didn't bother putting the light in the kitchen,
right,
dipped his hand into a bowl of food, shoved it in his mouth, and it was dog food. Yeah, and I remember
jamming his hand.
I've got a vivid memory of turning the kitchen light on, him facing me with dog food around his mouth, saying, "I thought it was chocolate cake. It tastes like dog breath."
Chocolate cake. What a mound of jellied chocolate cake!
I love that.
Just like a mama used to make.
I'm not questioning this. Just dicking my hand straight in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's just rude at the best of times.
Yeah.
Could have been worse. It couldn't have been. It literally could not have been. Jake Wiggins, which reminds me of
Wiggo.
Officer Wiggins. Is it Wiggins? No.
Chief Wiggum.
Chief Wiggum.
Which reminds me of Officer Wiggins, a character that doesn't exist.
It literally has the word Wig in it. Hello, Luke and Pete. Following on from your numerous stories about readers stealing plot lines and lyrics to further their academic careers, it reminded me of my own act of juvenile plagiarism in primary school, aged around about 8 years old. One day we were asked to try our hand at poetry. As the other youngsters in my class scribbled away, I contemplated what my poem was going to be about. I should say at this point, as an 8-year-old, I was obsessed with the band Queen. Despite Freddie dying before I was even born, I could not get enough. I should also say that I was a very serious child. I thought very deeply about issues and worried about things most kids couldn't care less about. Because of those two attributes, my subject for the poem was to be regarding the starvation of millions of people across the globe using Queen's lesser-known hit, Is This the World We Created, as an influence.
That because he's using like an off-the-beaten track Queen song.
I could not tell you what that sounds like.
No.
Get it on the laptop.
All right.
When I say influence, what I really mean is a blatant rip-off. Using lines such as, Is This the World We Created, and Devastated right to the core, and If There's a God Looking Down, What Would He Think of the world that we've created, I composed my poem. Fast forward to a couple of months later, my parents sit down with my teacher at parents' evening. The teacher then proceeds to tell my parents of the poem I wrote. Despite being a good piece of work, the teacher was concerned at how dark the poem subject matter was, and that an 8-year-old should be writing about playing football, summer holidays, and having fun.
Agree.
So, well, I just hope she never runs into... Who's the fella out of Nine Inch Nails?
Oh, Trent Reznor.
Imagine Trent Reznor at school, the sort of poetry he wrote.
Yeah.
Not the poverty and starvation of children a thousand miles away. My parents tell me that they could barely contain their laughter as they read the poem, biting their lip to stifle their laughter. So they were familiar with the Queen song.
They probably played it in the car.
Yeah, exactly. They hurriedly left, and when they got home, between fits of laughter, told me that I shouldn't pass others' work off as my own, especially if it sold millions of copies. Needless to say, on the odd occasion, my dad sticks on an old vinyl and the song comes on. He turns to me and says, "Jake, isn't this the one you wrote?" Which I think is so wonderfully
great dad.
Humor. Beautifully yeah. dad.
Probably the same dad that fast-forwarded the Silence of the Lambs movie.
Definitely. I was playing a bit of Alice Cooper on Absolute Radio yesterday on the Request Show. And my dad, who never listens to me, the only comment he's made on my radio show in 10 years in radio, he texted me saying, "Alice Cooper plays a lot of golf now."
Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
No, that's a typical insight you get from Stewie, though, isn't it? That's the sort of thing Stewie brings to the table. On that Queen thing, that song is just the world we created from the 1984 album The Works, written by Freddie Mercury and Brian May. Just seeing the words,
John Piece that.
No, just, well, you asked me to look it up, so okay, I did. Yeah. Just seeing the words Brian May made me think about, isn't it odd? And I know it's a subjective thing and it's only our opinion, but isn't it odd how, like, certain recording artists from around that era, a load of them are actually quite fiercely uncool.
Yeah, massively.
You'd expect them to be quite cool.
Yeah.
Like Freddie Mercury's always like a cool bloke.
But how did Boy get away with it? Like, how did Boy...
Yeah, it's
probably
weird.
Similar age to Brian May, maybe.
Brian May, Pete. I'm thinking Sting as well.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm thinking David Coverdale. I'm like, just people who should be cooler. But maybe it's because they're British and, you know, he likes badges. I don't know what it is. They're always kind of like either incredibly right wing or just painfully dull about, you know, TV.
Can I just say, I wasn't aware that David Coverdale was English, I have to admit.
No, he's not, is he?
Yeah, he is. He's from Yorkshire.
Oh, yes, he isn't, yeah.
You just said he was.
No, I didn't. I just said David Coverdale was uncool.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, and well, he's also from Yorkshire. So, but yeah, I just found that odd. So if you've got any idea of any other artists that you think are uncool from around that era, let us know. Thanks for that, Mr. Wiggo. I got this from Gavin, who this is quite strange, really. I don't remember doing this, but I'm sure I did. So you have to just come in on this, Pete. Gavin's got some Mustang batteries, and he's emailing from Hastings in the beautiful county of, I think, East Sussex, but possibly West Sussex. In show 67, Luke claimed that Bill Beaumont had done nothing since his retirement from international rugby.
Nothing.
Do you remember Bill Beaumont? Question
yes.
of sport, rugby yeah. guy, big bruiser. He says, "I appreciate you guys are not oval ball aficionados, but Bill is head of world rugby." And has overseen rugby's biggest expansion, including Olympic rugby. He also spawned international rugby player Josh Beaumont, so he's not been entirely fallow since retirement. Mind you, if you have no interest in rugby, his work is largely forgettable, probably. Josh Beaumont, international rugby player, got one cap, I checked.
Try and prove a point.
Oh, Josh, why are you such a disappointment? It's maybe something his dad... This has been a very dad-themed show, hasn't
it? Yeah, I think, I mean, that is incredible lack of oversight from us, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he is literally the head of rugby.
I quite
He's
like...
He's the monarch of rugby.
Yeah, I quite like... It's like saying that, you know, old... I don't know. Zinedine Zidane's done nothing in football since he retired.
Yeah.
But I find it hard to sort of acknowledge rugby, you know.
Yeah.
It's not something I know much about. I quite like watching international rugby if it's on the TV, but other than that, I know nothing about it, and I find it baffling to watch, to be honest.
I'd definitely be a league guy rather than
because you're Northern.
That seems to be a thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's weird, isn't it? have you noticed that I've written on the back of the bottom of your bottle?
Oh, you're such a knobhead. Bellend. You're such
yes!
an idiot.
Yes, because when you tip it up, people can see the word Bellend.
Do you want to know, how long's that been on there?
3 days.
Right. That's a bit of a shame.
I had a day, you can wipe off. I had a day alone in the studio. It was I quite enjoyed it, really.
Oh, so you
it's
did
so
it on,
peaceful.
So when you came in on Thursday and you were supposed to be upgrading the RAM to the office computer.
Buttery smooth.
You spent your
buttery smooth computer.
You spent your time writing Bellend on my new water bottle bought for me by my
that's
loving father-in-law.
That's not a new one, that's an old one, isn't it?
No, that's my new one.
Why is it an office one then?
I'll tell you why. Because
is that your inside one? I know. I thought it was your old one. Sorry, Luke. That is genuine emotion from me.
Don't apologise to me. Apologise to Larry.
Who's Larry?
My father-in-law.
Oh, Larry Nalgene.
For the story I'm about to tell you, I lost my old Nalgene water bottle.
You didn't, or you left it at TalkSport, mate.
Oh yeah, let me tell the fucking story, Pete.
Sorry.
The Rolls Royce of water bottles, Nalgene. The Ferrari.
It sounds like moss you'd find on water, Nalgene. Yeah. Oh, we've got a Nalgene infestation. Don't drink that.
Anyway, Larry, my father-in-law, listens to all of our shows. He loves the Luke and Pete show. Exactly.
Sorry, Larry.
Get Stewie listening. That's what you want to do.
He can't do that.
Let me get the story out. And I announced on the show that I lost my water bottle, and Larry, being the great guy that he is, he immediately bought me another one from in the US and posted it to me. But by the time it arrived, I found my old one. So I've got this one for the office, the new one, and the old one for home.
That on the head like a child.
And you've written Bellend on the bottom of it.
Sorry, Larry.
No, don't. That's fine. He won't mind. He won't mind.
Look, Larry, you probably don't even use the term Bellend.
No, it's true, actually.
It might not even.
There we go. Sorry. Let's do one more email before we go.
All right, let's do one more email. It's just a quick one about...
You've got a new Mankata for Thursday, right?
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
Yeah, we'll do that on Thursday because it's so enjoyable. National Treasures.
Okay.
Quick one about National Treasures. Kenny from Tiernmouth in Devon. Hi, chaps. These cannot be denied. I'm going to start with... I'm not going to give you the first one because I disagree with it. Jennifer Saunders, National Treasure. Nailed on. Dawn French, National Treasure, nailed on. Joanna Lumley, definitely a National Treasure, nailed on. Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry, both National Treasures.
These are all sort of 80s and 90s comedy performers.
Did he just put
like a couple of VHSs on and thought, these are all brilliant.
But who's those guys that used to be, what was that band that used to be on Jennifer Saunders and French and Saunders shows? Roland Riveron and that ball block used to play the guitar, I think.
Right.
Roland Riveron. Why isn't Roland Riveron in there? Is it because he drinks in the Groucho?
Well, you would know.
I would know.
Why don't you... the standouts for me would be Lumley and Fry.
Yeah.
If I'm putting them in order.
Yeah.
I respect what Laurie's achieved both here and in the US in terms of a career.
Yeah.
The one at the top of the list, why are you not reading it?
Ed Edmondson.
Yeah, why don't you like him?
I think before Rick Mills' death, he would be interviewed on radio, basically... not being particularly complimentary about Rick Mills' enthusiasm for another season of Bottom. And when I've seen him being interviewed, he sounds a bit crotchety and old manny. Okay. And I look, and out of the young ones, can you imagine which character I gravitated towards the most?
Neil. Vivian, of course. Absolutely.
I love that character. And even though I think I love the thought of that character more than actually watching the young ones because it was actually quite chewy. When Alexis Sayle used to turn up, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I found Alexis Sayle quite difficult to get on with because I was too young.
I think Alexis Sayle is brilliant. But I used to watch Alexis Sayle on his own TV show. Do you remember the Alexis Sayle TV show theme tune? Have we sang it on this show?
What was this show called?
Alexis Sayle's commercial breakdown? No, it was Jessica Carrot. Alexis Sayle, we love to hear him swear on the TV. Everybody gives two cheers except the BBC. A-L-E-X-E-I-S-A-Y-L-E. I think it was the Alexis Sayle show.
It was the all-new Alexis Sayle show, apparently.
Yeah. He was brilliant on that
I didn't
show.
Watch I it. I didn't really watch it, I have to say.
Yeah.
But, you can't be across everything, can you? One thing I will say for Ade Edmondson, though, is that he's in the latest Star Wars movie.
He is, yeah. Is he in a suit? No, he's actually...
He plays the assistant to General Hux, I think.
It was the first reboot, wasn't it? Rather than
I think he's in The Last Jedi
as well.
It's either The Last Jedi or The Force Awakens.
Holy moly, Solo got a kick in, didn't it? What's that about?
I haven't seen it.
Well, that's the point. Nobody watched it.
I find it odd that they put big budget movies and they release them when they know it's going to be warm outside.
Right.
So people just think, I would go to the cinema. But for example, I love going to the cinema and watching a movie that I want to see. But if it's a really nice day, I feel like it's a shame to do it.
Solo was released in May, though, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was released a little
But there have ago. Been examples of films that have completely bombed unexpectedly because it's been like the hottest day of the year or something.
Yeah, but like you watch films in the evening, though, don't you? Sort of like you're out and about, you go for a film. Lovely.
It's because you're on the dating game, that's
Lovely
why.
Lovely old John, the dating game.
You're a man about town.
Oh, popcorn, don't put your hand too deep.
Because you did a popcorn trick after going to the Groucho and being a bit of a barfly, picking up a lady or man.
Me and Roland Riveron.
And then going to the cinema and performing the popcorn trick.
Just putting my willy in the popcorn.
Yeah. Right, let's get out of here. We're talking at the popcorn trick, it's time to go until
let's
Thursday.
Let's get out of here.
Nice to speak to you all. And if you do want to get in touch, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. That's indeed. Us for another episode. And we'll be back on Thursday for more stuff, including a Mankata. So don't miss it.
See you later, Bellends. I bought this Ribena from here.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.